Hey there, and welcome back to the Gospel Fuel Podcast. My name is Tanner. I'm on staff at First Family Church. And welcome to the midweek refill portion of the podcast, where what we do is we walk through our Bible reading plan for the year that we're going through as a church. And we just take a little nugget out of that week's reading, and we talk about it. And hopefully we'll encourage you to keep reading in Scripture and engaging with God's Word. And I bring a guest on each week. And this week I have Pastor Todd with us. And he's going to bring a little nugget from Acts chapter 1. If you want to read along with us, you can go to our website, firstfamily.church, and resources, then scroll down to reading plan. And we are in week 15. So, Pastor Todd, what do you got for us? Good to have you on the podcast.
Hey, great to be here with you. And I want to say, first of all, thank you for doing this podcast. I know it's kind of a two-parter. The Gospel Fuel Podcast is a Sunday primer and a midweek refill.
Yep.
So, love what's happening that. Love the resources you and your team and producing. So, thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's excellent for our people. Acts 1 is interesting. Julie and I are doing the New Testament Bible reading plan.
Sure.
You've had some guests who are doing the old and new, some different portions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing the New Testament Bible reading plan. And so we're, I think it's finishing Luke and just beginning Acts.
You're
in week 15.
Yep.
Acts 1 is interesting because it's the fifth book of the New Testament, but it's really the end of the time when Christ came. So all of the Old Testament's pointing to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He arrives, he comes. Acts is the end, really. It begins with the end of Christ's ministry, his ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the post-Christ incarnation time begins, whatever we want to call that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's the fifth book of the New Testament. So really the Gospels, in some ways, they describe the life of Christ, of course, and his time on earth. But that ends with the beginning of the book of Acts, his ascension. What I find interesting is this. You can track the Bible's peaks around the coming of Christ.
Mm.
And we could even say the comings of Christ, because all of the Old Testament points to the first coming of Christ.
Sure.
He ascends. And then those two angels in Acts 1, verses 7 to 11, tell those who are there watching, he's coming again just as he is departing. And so now the New Testament gives us our marching orders while we wait for his second coming. So I just was intrigued by that, that the comings of Christ are of particular importance. They're peak moments in the meta-narrative of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's all about Jesus, his first coming as the incarnated Christ, his second one as the glorified Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good reminder, because I think we can get caught up in we've all seen this as Christians. We get caught up in the specifics of Christ's second coming instead of realizing like the bigger picture is just that Christ is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is coming, and now he's coming back. First coming, second coming, and I think we like, you know, it's an interesting topic. You know, you've talked about Revelation a lot before. It's an interesting topic. Like, what are the details of how he's going to come back and how he's going to take his church and how he's going to, and that's not a bad concept to talk about, but I think we can get lost in the forest for the trees sometimes.
In that same Acts 1 passage, I think what you're describing occurred with the disciples.
Mm.
They were curious about timing matters, and Jesus corrects them and says, you should be more concerned about missional matters, being witnesses.
Yeah.
And then the two angels say, hey, as you see him go, he'll come again in like manner.
Mm-hmm.
So the comings aren't unimportant, but the timing of them isn't near as important as what we're to do while we wait.
Mm-hmm.
So you are spot on that. You know, here's an interesting thing I've learned, and we mentioned this a couple weeks ago when we preached about the coming of the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The phrase second coming is actually not in the Bible anywhere. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's not there conceptually.
Right.
But I was looking around for it. It's really just always the coming of Jesus. And so I think a better distinction that I've been making for myself is there is the incarnated coming of Christ, and then there's the glorified coming of Christ.
Yeah.
Both are his presence on the earth, but what distinguishes them? We could use first and second. I think we know the heart of that, but maybe more theologically accurate or biblically correct would be to say his first one was in the incarnation. When he returns, he'll be glorified, still bodily, still present. And by the way, the word coming that we use a lot in regards to Christ, it's actually the word for presence or arrival. So we could say the soon presence of Christ.
Yeah.
much like they did in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Christ would appear or arrive or be present. So it's just interesting how we can have fun with this. But you're so right. We don't want to maximize timing matters.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we want to maximize missional matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of it was a month or two ago when Adam talked about how God's word is all about the presence of,
I remember
the presence
that.
Of God. And so that's really cool that basically boils down to presence. And I also love that something I've loved about your leadership and our elders and our church in general is the posture of, hey, like we can disagree on, like anything you say, like we can still grab a Coke if we disagree on this.
A Diet Coke, yeah.
I've always appreciated being able to hold some of those things loosely while saying like, hey, we can all agree on the imminency, like Christ can return any moment, and disagree on some of the smaller details, and we can be still on mission together. And, you know, like shoulder to shoulder, like we can still be a close-knit family, despite those differences.
Amen.
I've always appreciated that about our church and our leadership. So
I think it's interesting because if we don't adopt some type of posture or we can see things differently and still work together, the church will only grow to about 10 people probably across the world.
Amen.
Because there's so many variant views on non-essential things.
Right.
We have to figure out how to stay humble
mm-hmm.
and workable to get the job done.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost out of necessity. We have to learn to say, yeah, I see that differently, but man, we're close friends.
Yep.
And it is Diet Coke, not Coke.
Right,
of course. For sure not Pepsi.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Well, church, I hope that was encouraging to you in your walk with Christ and in your reading of Scripture this year. We'll see you next week on the Gospel Fuel Podcast.